years down the road, you shoot wide awake in the middle of the night. Your hand against searing pain.
Uh-oh.
Like from the wrist all the way down to your fingertips on your right hand. It feels like sort of a burning sensation. Very painful.
Having like a hurt hand is one of a it's one of the most underrated types of pain, I think. It's very, very, very upsetting.
You've often thought that to yourself, and now, like, your worst fear has come to fruition.
Yeah, dude.
Your
Worst
right
fear,
hand
yeah.
is like pretty much useless.
Dang.
You can't grip with it. You can't gesture with it. You have to keep it like pretty much immobilized all the time. It hurts to the touch, but if you don't put a brace on it, you don't really keep it stable. So it's just kind of like you have to deal with one dull, roaring pain of having something constantly touching it, or the occasional knife wound in your wrist
Jeez.
when you move it the wrong way.
Oof.
And you've been like this for about 6 months, right?
6 months.
6 months. It's been like this. It's been fucking awful. Honestly, it's been like the worst 6 months of your life. Like, just because every day is like bothersome. You're constantly in pain, right? Nothing they're doing
Wow.
has been able to help.
So I am seeing a doctor.
Yeah, you've been seeing a doctor for a little while now, and you have a doctor's appointment on this day. But you just wake up like sweating bullets, right? Middle of the night, hand in pain.
Wow.
You struggle to get back to sleep. Eventually, you do wind up passing out, and you wake up a couple of hours later. You feel a little bit refreshed, but you definitely didn't sleep well.
Right.
And that's kind of par for the course right now. So you go to the doctor, the hand doctor. You check in at his office. You walk up to the front desk, the nurse who's there. You've been to the office like several times,
Oh, so I
You're
kind
in
of
there
know
for,
her.
yeah, her name is Deborah.
Cool.
And you say, "Hey, Deb." And she goes, "Hey, Patrick." She goes, "How are you doing?" And you're like, still having the issues with the hand. She goes, "Still burning." You guys have this like small, quiet medical conversation.
Yeah.
And then you turn around and she goes, "Hey, you ever seen the show Scrubs?"
I have.
And she's like, "I just started it. I love it."
Yeah, dude.
She puts her head down in her work. You go to the waiting room, you wait there, You're there for a few more minutes and then you get called back. So you're sitting in the doctor's like waiting room, He walks in. He strides in. His jacket sort of flowing behind him.
Okay.
He's got on a navy slacks, light blue shirt, and a red and blue striped tie. He's got salt and pepper hair. A little wider around the edges, his ears going into his beard, salt and peppery,
Okay.
You look at him and you think, man, if I could just dump this man out on a New York strip.
What?
You think about how this man's just the salt and pepper in this guy's beard. You
It
think
makes
this man, if you held him over a juicy steak and just shook him, it would be seasoned perfectly. That's how
that's
salt and peppery his beard looks.
but I could just use regular salt and pepper. I wouldn't have to, whatever. I guess it's
You
not
think about
important.
a time of like it was a Thanksgiving at your house when you were 12
Yeah.
years old. Very tense. You know, just like shit that happens. You know how like parents have their own shit going on, and you as a kid are like not wise to it a lot of times.
Yeah.
It was one of those events. Thanksgiving, a lot of stress. The mashed potatoes were not seasoned, and
Oh, wow.
you at the dinner table were like, "Hey, mom, you didn't season the mashed potatoes," and she just fucking freaked out,
Jeez.
threw a plate across the room. You think, man,
What?
if this doctor, if only this doctor had been at that Thanksgiving, everything would have been saved. Because he would have been there and he could have salt and peppered the potatoes with that salt and pepper beard
Wow.
and that salt and pepper around his temples, you know.
Yeah.
He strides into the room, turns on the little like light box, and he throws an X-ray up on the window there. And he says, "Well, Pat," he goes, "I got good news and I got bad news. What do you want?"
Bad news.
"Bad news is we're gonna have to take the hand."
Oh no.
Yeah.
My right
Yeah.
hand?
Your right hand.
Right, what's the good news?
We figured out why. And it's because you've been jacking off too much. You have jacked your hand clean off.
Oh man.
Every single remedy we've tried has failed. Nothing is taking. There's just too much violent aggression at the source, and behavioral therapies haven't helped. So, we're just gonna have to take the hand off.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you didn't realize it, but over the course of your lifetime, you've really been abusing that wrist. Just with frequency alone, the doctor, he goes on to tell you, he goes, "We estimate it's upward of 50,000 times that you've pleasured yourself over the course of your life." And he's like, "That's just like taking such a toll on your body that, it's going to cost you your hand. And I'm sorry we weren't able to do anything for you."
Wow.
So he, you're kind of devastated by the news, It especially hurts because right now you're working as like a guitar teacher. Or like you teach guitar, you work at a little music shop, you teach banjo. That's really why you're there.
Yeah. What's the name of the place that I work at?
It's called Gilman's Strings and Things. But it's spelled THYNGZ, like an STRYNGZ.
Oh man.
It's run by Donnie Gilman.
Oh man. What's Donnie's deal?
Donnie Gilman, like, moved to Austin when he was like 18 to be a musician, and he never made it, and he never left.
Yeah.
And he just like, but he was within the music community long enough that he fell into working at a shop, and one thing led to another, and he bought his own place, and he's made like a decent life for himself, But you're working there, giving lessons, for selling gear. You generally like it,
Yeah, I bet I would.
But on this particular day, you go into work with tears in your eyes, and you tell Donnie Gilman that you just will have to figure out something new because a one-handed man can't teach guitar, can't teach banjo. How can I teach it if I couldn't play it myself?
Yeah.
Donnie asks you how long you got. He says, "Oh, you're going to schedule the surgery in about 3 weeks.
Oof.
So it'll give you some time to sort of like figure out what the next move is and to, wrap up your relationships with your students at Strings and Things." So 3 weeks go by. You get a little bit more emotional by the day, which is understandable because, losing a hand would be very difficult, especially for somebody in that profession. So you, the day comes. You, go under the knife. You lose your hand. They chop it off. Throw in a fucking bag. It's ground up. Made into, like, dog chow.
What?
You know? Yeah, there's just, like, now there's a lot of, like, gray areas with, like, dog chows and stuff now, so.
Who is doing this to me?
The hospital. They're taking your hand off because you jacked off too much. There's no way to save it. They tried everything.
Wow.
So you're, you know, you're, like, laying there on the table. They got the gas on you. They go, okay, count back from 100. You're counting back. And the doctor, like, looks at your chart and go, losing hand because he jacked off too much. And then you just fall asleep, right?
Oh, man.
You hear, like, the first 0.25% of a laugh just breach the barrier of the doctor's lips. And your last thought is, oh, they're fucking laughing at me. And then you pass out. Right? So you go under. They take the hand. You come out. You're in a bit of a daze, obviously, as, you know, the anesthesia wears off. You wake up. You're in a gown. You instinctively try to grab for your penis, just out of instinct. And your right hand is gone, right?
Yeah.
It's bandaged. And you, like, try to, like, make it work. And you go, oh, fuck. Oh, yeah. It was very out of it, right? Yeah.
But I go for my dick, even though
I'm out of it. Just out of sheer habit. The doctor put a little cone around your penis, like they do with dogs.
What? Come on.
Yeah, they put a little cone around it. And I mean a little cone. They put a little cone around it.
But my dick wasn't the problem. That was my hand.
Yeah, but the hand is the result of the problem you have with your constant.
I would take the cone off. Pleasuring yourself. I mean, I would not put up with that. I would take the cone off.
Well, you reach for the cone, but you don't have a hand there. So you just
have a left hand.
Yeah, your left hand is like asleep, though, because you slept on it weird. Because you did sleep good, right? You slept great, to be honest with you. Because for the first time in months, you haven't been in, like, searing pain.
Yeah, okay.
You slept so deep. You slept the sleep that, like, will leave you with, like, pins and needles in your arm because you haven't moved for hours.
Wow.
You haven't shifted. So you wake up, right? You eventually figure it out. You feel the cone on your penis and balls. But they're the precautionary cone. It costs you $180 through your insurance. But what are you going to do, you know?
It seems very unnecessary. It seems like that wasn't really...
You actually tried to fight the bill. You called the insurance company, and they were like, Lanolax Insurance.
Yeah.
We aim to please.
Okay.
My name is Julio. How can I help you?
Yeah, I have like a... Wait, hold on. So I'm calling them from like the hospital bed?
Yeah.
I would go... I'm being charged $180 for a cone going around my genitals, and I don't need this. Why is it on there? It doesn't need to be there.
He goes, let me take a look. You hear him click clack of the keyboard, and he goes, okay, I'm looking at the code here. He goes, oh, the doctor wrote here, this is absolutely necessary. This guy cannot stop masturbating.
They took my hand. That should be enough to stop it.
And they go, we did give you the $25 Darden family gift card for your hand's donation. Because your hand did wind up in like a bunch of dog chow.
Right. It's being eaten by dogs. Yeah. Fuck.
Yes. And they say it is FDA approved.
I just hang up. I don't even say goodbye. I just hang up.
I'm so pissed off. Yeah. You hang up. You go to like tear the cone, the little cone. You go to tear the little cone away and just rips out like a bunch of pubic hair with it. It's just very painful, you know?
Fuck.
They use like medical grade glue to like keep it in place, you know?
Oh, God.
They didn't want it going anywhere. They felt it was very necessary. So You sleep the deep sleep. You wake up. You kind of like are trying to adjust to your new life of doing everything left hand. And that's something you were working on prior to this event, just because obviously you knew what was coming, you know. But it takes a toll on you. Losing your job, you know, losing your clients.
Yeah.
It really made you sad. It made you lose your sense of self.
Who are the who like wh- like what kind of what's like the age range of the people that I'm that I was teaching?
You're teaching like 9-year-olds all the way up to like people in their 60s. You're teaching like very early introduction to guitar, and you do teach some more advanced like banjo courses. You teach several different things.
Okay, that's cool, I guess. Well, I guess it's not that cool anymore because I don't have a fucking hand.
Yeah. So you get out of the hospital again. You like get adjusted, right? You're trying to figure things out, you know. And part of that is like, well, what do you want your prosthesis to look like? You know, what do you want it to? What kind of functionality are you looking for? You know, and there's a whole lot of options to choose from. And, you know, you've been thinking a lot about it. It's like, well, obviously you want to like replicate as much of the human hand as possible, you know? So you're looking into it. You don't want to make a decision too soon. There's a local medical store that's ordered some prototypes. You're going to go in next week and take a look and see what feels good, you know? So you're just kind of like living your life, like struggling to like stay afloat mentally, trying to like come to grips with this, you know, new existence, right? That's left-handed man. That's your new mantra. Every day you say, I'm a left-handed man. You wake up in the morning, you go, hi, I'm Patrick. I'm a left-handed man.
Who do I say that to?
The mirror, mostly.
All right, so I'm trying to like pump myself up into being left-handed. How's it going?
To embrace, you know, some days are better than others. You still find yourself occasionally reaching for something or like going to like lean on something and like smashing your nub.
Oh, sure.
Like, you know, you're like, you're still like adjusting to it because it's not like instinctual.
How's
and
my
you know,
left hand
you're
usage?
Yeah, you're getting better with your left hand, you know. You could say you're getting better with your left hand. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah.
Your first night home, you look at your left hand and you go, man, thank God I got a second one of these. And then you just blast off, you know.
I just start jacking off.
Yeah.
Oh, man. All right. How is it with my left hand?
You're working on it, you know.
All right.
Like all great relationships, they require work. This one's no different. Hand. It has to learn your form, your shapes.
Ah, the shape of my dick
and your balls, you know.
Of course,
takes time. So, you know, you're home again. You're adjusting. One day you go to the grocery store, right? There's a big football game coming on this weekend. And you're like, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
It's the All Jail Football League Championship.
The what?
The All Jail Football League Championship. It runs in the off season of the NFL. And every single maximum security prison in America is allowed to form their own football team. And they play in a tournament up in, you know, like a regular sports league. And it is the most, I mean, it's exactly what you think it is. It's the most brutal. It's the most violent. It is the most vicious. It is the deadliest. Like, people have died playing it.
Wait, so they encourage violence?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
it's understood that like there it's going to be a more violent game than most.
Yeah.
That's like the appeal, I guess. Okay.
Yeah, that's 100% the appeal. Oh yeah, it sweeps the nation.
Of course it
is
does.
It is only behind the NFL in ratings, and like it is incredibly popular.
What's the NFL's response to this?
They're shaking in their fucking boots. About 2 weeks ago, Roger Goodell was found face down on Fifth
what?
Avenue. Yeah.
What do you mean? Like he's dead?
Yeah.
How did he die?
It was a long way down. There's
so
a note
on.
In his pocket from it was handwritten and it just says, "We can't keep up."
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, so the Prison Football League is really taking over the country, right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like it's become a social thing and people are getting together and they're gonna watch the game. So you're going to a little get together with a couple of friends. You know, mostly like the guys from Strings and Things. You
yeah.
know, Danny Goodwin's gonna be there, maybe.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so you're just gonna get to have a small little thing. So you go to the grocery store. What would you get if you were at the grocery store? Preparation of like a big, like sort of celebratory community meal event like that.
Potato salad for sure. A lot of potato
yeah.
salad. Heaps of potato
okay.
salad probably. Definitely
okay.
some chips.
What kind of chips?
Man, so I go for the Ruffles for sure.
Okay.
I get Ruffles. I feel like I could eat 15 bags of Russells, dude. I get that.
Yeah.
I
you
get.
Say Russ? You say Russells?
I think they're called Russells. Russells
or Ruffles.
Has ripples. Ruffles. That's what it is.
Ruffles. Well, there
Ruffles,
is actually
not
Russells. There is a Russells potato chip, actually.
All right, I get both. I go, fuck it. Let's just compare them.
They're hard
so
to find anymore.
Are they there?
They started. They opened. Russell's opened up 2 weeks before Ruffles came out. And
really?
Then there was just a lot of confusion at distribution centers, warehouses. You know, a lot of people were going, "Is he in Russell's or Ruffles?"
Yeah.
And you know, they just never really got a foothold. Then and Ruffles obviously took over, and they couldn't compete with the. What was it, the cheddar ones? You know, they got
right,
they
yeah.
can't. What are you gonna
no.
do?
So
that's the best chip ever made.
Are there any Russells available at the grocery store that I'm at?
There's three bags of Russells. They are mostly deflated and 75% crunched.
Okay, I just leave it then. That's
yeah,
horrible.
it's a dying company.
All right, and
so
then
you grab some
what snacks do I get? Yeah, I grab that
potato salad.
I probably grab some kind of like pre-made
the bag
food.
Of the Russell's potato chip is just there's a picture of a man on his hands and knees and he's just saying please buy me. Right,
sorry buddy. All right, so I probably find some kind of like meat that I just some kind of like you know what I do some I try to find some kind of pre-made like ziti pasta meal that I just have to toss into the oven and
okay,
you know what I mean, something like that, some soda.
Yeah.
I might even Well, if there's people coming over, I get some beer, I think. I probably get them some beer. And
yeah,
then,
yes.
Yeah, I got everybody covered. Then I got some soda and water and probably some kind of sweet, some sort of pie, probably.
Yeah, yeah. You walk up to the bakery department.
Yeah.
There's a lady who's, like, walking away. She's like, these just came out of the oven, sugar. And she has a table lined with pies.
Wow.
Cherry. Apple. Pecan.
Yeah, pecan's one I get.
You get the pecan pie. You can feel that it's still warm a little bit.
Wow. Thank you.
You get the rest of the food, right? You get your food, you check out. The cashier, you know, he gives you your total, you swipe your card. puts your receipt in the bag. He hands you everything, and he goes, "Enjoy the game. I'll be working."
Oh my god! All right, I go, "All right, buddy. That's a good one." What the fuck?
And he goes, "But I got this," and he pulls open the drawer, and there's like his phone sitting in the drawer, and there's like a pregame show on.
You know, I think it is so funny when stuff like this happens, when someone who's working somewhere is openly telling you, like, "Hey, don't worry, like, I'm fucking off." Like, someone who just says that's so funny. I just laugh and walk out.
Yeah. So you leave, right?
Why did he even show me that? Like, that's so strange.
I don't know. I'm just telling you. So you get back to your house, right? You turn the oven on. You throw the ZD in. You text a group chat. "Hey, guys, throwing in a ZD." You take a picture of yourself. You send it over.
For sure, yeah.
You give, like, a thumbs up, but you forget your hand isn't there. And you don't have, like, another hand to hold it with.
Oh, so
you just, like, are, like, showing the nub, you know?
Okay.
And,
it takes some getting used to.
It takes some getting used to. So you're just letting everybody know, hey, you can come over, right? Eventually, people kind of start, you know, texting back and saying, like, "Hey, we'll be over in a little while." They're giving you confirmation. People are like, looks great, Pat, you know?
Yeah.
You set out your pie, your pecan pie. You put your drinks in the fridge. You get everything sort of set up. You go to throw the trash away. You reach into the bag, and that receipt is ice cold. As soon as you feel, your phone rings. It just says L on it.
I answer it. I'm so freaked out, but I answer it.
You say hello, and he goes, this guy goes, "Hey, Pat." He goes, "My name is Christopher Chillers, and I work for the Lanolax Corporation." And he goes, "I was just going through your file here, and I saw the thing about your hand." He goes, "I'm really sorry to hear that. I saw you're working at Strings and things." He goes, "Man, that's got to be a real bummer." He goes, "How are
My
you holding
file?
Up?
What do you mean
he
you have,
laughs.
A file?"
He's like, "Yeah, you know." He goes, "You know, we know a lot of things about a lot of people, Pat." He goes, "Are you doing okay, though?"
Yeah, I'm a little weirded out about this file thing, but other than that,
he goes, "Look, I got a file on you because I'm here to help you."
Okay.
He goes, "The Lanolax Corporation has created a new state-of-the-art prosthetic limb."
Oh.
And he goes, "We hear that you're quite a music teacher."
I was.
He goes, "How about we give you a new hand, free of charge? All you have to do is teach banjo to the child of one of our directors at no cost."
Sure. Wait, that's all
he
I
goes,
have to
it'll
do?
Be, he goes, "It'll be 6 weeks worth of lessons, 3 lessons a week."
Oh, wow, that's a lot.
I go, "Well," he goes, "let me just tell you," he goes, "this new hand is going to change your life."
Really?
Yeah. He says, "This new hand has been," he goes, "it's space age technology." He goes, "it's light as a feather, strong as steel." He goes, "it's virtually unbreakable." He goes, "it's got AI level programming in it." He goes, "it can perform any function that a normal human hand can." And then you hear him, he like leans in, he whispers, he goes, "Mini function."
Yeah, see, I just realized that this guy has a file on me and knows that I lost a hand because I jacked off too much. I'm kind of embarrassed. Okay. Yes,
I mean,
I
do you
agree
ask him if
like,
that's what he means?
Absolutely
or do you
not.
just make
I
that
don't.
Assumption?
Nope. I just, it's clear what he means and I agree to it.
He goes, "Great. Love to hear it, Pat." He goes, "We'll go ahead and have that sent over right away." He goes, "Thank you so much. Best of luck with your new life." You hang up.
That's
as
so
he's
weird.
As he's hanging up, you hear him go like, 50,000 times. And then it just clicked, right? As soon as he hangs up, there's a knock at the door.
Okay. I guess I look through the keyhole. or the whatever hole.
You see, like, a UPS guy walking away, and he has probably the best ass of any UPS worker you've ever fucking seen.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, best ass, best lower legs. I mean, it is, this guy is a sight to behold from the waist down.
Wow.
He was voted UPS's sexiest lower body.
Wow.
2020. Came in third in 2021. He's fallen off a little bit, but he definitely had like a heyday.
What's his name?
But it's still very, good. See, you open up the door. There's a package there. You pick it up. It feels like it's heavier than it looks.
Okay.
Right. You set it on the kitchen table. You grab some scissors. You cut the tape. You slice it open, and it's just like packed. There's like a lot of packing material in it. You start removing this packing material, and you see this prosthetic hand. You go to reach for it. It feels very solid, but it's very lightweight. There's a little picture. It's like a little stick figure, and he's like missing like half of an arm. And then it's like the second picture is him just like putting the prosthesis on.
Yeah.
It's very simple instructions.
That's all it is.
Yep, you just put it on there.
All right, I guess I just put it on.
You put it on, you press the cup up against the end of your arm, and it just immediately like seals to it. And
wow.
You can sort of like, you feel like fibers in your upper arm start to twitch, and you feel like something is happening and connecting you with this thing. And after about 5 seconds, you're able to like control it, and it feels like your old hand. You like open a jar of pepperoncinis.
Just because I can.
Yeah, just to like feel it again.
All right.
You like snap with all of your fingers. You grab a pick and you start to play, and it's like you never left.
Cool.
So you're sitting out on your front porch with this new lease on life. Looking at the sunset. Sun goes down. You think about, you see yourself like, how lucky a man am I?
Yeah, for real.
You go inside. You sleep amazing. Right? It really feels like a new lease on life. You talk to the store owner, and you're like, hey, I've got this new prosthetic hand. He goes, I can keep teaching, like, you know, like I can get my book of clients back. And you're like, I feel like this is actually like a really good thing. I'm in a much better place now than I was a few months ago when my hand was hurting all the time. So you kind of come down to the shop, you show all the guys, you start shredding. And you, because it's like not your hand, your hand doesn't like fatigue, you know? So you can just play for longer. You can play harder and faster for a longer period of time, just because there isn't like a physical wear and tear happening on your right
yeah.
hand.
Yeah.
So you kind of like feel like you could fall back in love with it again.
Yeah.
You know? So you're back at the store. You get an email scheduling email for the son of the director at Lanolax. He has like a 4 p.m. appointment. He walks in, looks to be like maybe 14 years old. Teenager, want to learn how to play guitar, you know, that kind of thing.
Am I teaching him banjo or guitar?
Banjo. Sorry, guitar.
Okay.
You're teaching him guitar.
Okay.
So yeah, there's like 6 weeks, twice a week, just basic introductory lessons, like with the plane off the ground kind of thing. So the kid comes in. You You introduce yourself. You reach out your right hand, your robot hand, and you go, yeah. "Name is Pat." And the kid kind of stares at it for a second, and he kind of like, you could tell the wheels are turning. And then he shakes your hand. He goes, "Hi, my name's Bryce."
Hey, Bryce. I go, "Yeah, kind of weird about that hand, huh?"
And he's like, "Yeah, it was pretty unexpected." He goes, "How'd it happen?"
I go, "Honestly, Bryce, it's a pretty long story."
He goes, "Well, it's going to take me a minute to tune my guitar."
I go, "Yeah,
pulls
we'll
his
just
guitar
probably...
out. He sits down.
Yeah, well, if we just focus on the music, I think, for the time.
He's like,
being.
"Yeah." He goes, "Yeah, I'm just tuning my guitar, though. You know, it's going to take me just a little bit." He goes, "So how'd it happen, mister?"
I'm not going to tell him, and I just try to
well,
refocus.
What'd you say to him?
Oh, I go, "You know, to be honest with you, Bryce, it's a kind of a personal question, and I'd rather not answer it."
He goes, "Okay." He's like, "I don't know what I'd do if I lost my right hand."
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of upsetting.
He's tuning. So you sit down, you grab your guitar, and you kind of just like show him, you walk through like the fretboard and how you hold it, and you know. By the end of the lesson, you're showing in some like finger exercises and skill exercises, and
okay.
Give him a couple of goals to come back with later in the week, like learning, oh, can you play three chords? You know, can you pick up three chords? Doesn't you have to play them like in any certain way or order, but just, you know, just learning basics. And at the end of it, he gets ready to walk out, and he looks at you with these bright blue eyes, and he goes, "Nice to meet you, Pat." He goes, "I think we're going to have fun together."
Cool, man.
He goes, "By the end of this, I'm going to know how you lost that hand." And he smiles at you, and he walks away.
How old is this kid?
He gets, like, 14.
All right.
He gets into, like, a long black car. It peels away. So you wind up spending the next 6 weeks, twice a week, giving this kid lessons.
Okay.
And he picks it up like crazily insane.
Oh, so he's really good?
Yeah. He's like, "I've always wanted to play guitar." He goes, "I just never did it." But he's like, "I think like," he's like, "it just makes sense to me." So by 6 weeks, he's not as good as you are, but he's definitely like playing full songs, and he understands like syncopation, and he's like, you could tell that he's going to be like a very competent, not
maybe
very
sticks with
good
it,
guitar
he'll be
player.
good. Yeah. What's the first song that he learns that I teach him?
You teach him "Hey Ya."
Hey Ya.
Because you've always
that's a...
liked in songs when somebody's like, "All right, all right, all right, all right, all right, all right." You've always liked when like somebody's done that in a song.
It's also I believe that song's only four chords, so that's pretty easy to play.
Yeah.
Weird, there's a weird time signature sometimes. So yeah, that's kind of interesting that that's the first one I'd choose.
Yeah. And you know, it's a fun song.
Yeah.
So he ends up over the course of 6 weeks like exceeding your expectations. Proving you wrong as where you thought he would be able to be at, right?
Okay.
So 6 weeks goes by. Bryce walks out of your studio. He walks out of the store. You pat him on the back and you go, "Hey, man, it's been a lot of fun."
Yeah.
You stick that robot hand out. And by this time, you guys have like become like pretty close. Like, he turned 15 last week. You brought him a cupcake, you know?
Cool.
Yeah. He's like a nice, you think of him as like a nice kid.
Yeah.
So he steps out. He goes to like, he's waiting on the side of the curb, like as his car pulls up. and you kind of like step out and you're like, hey man, I'll stay in touch, you know, whatever, that whole thing. Don't feel, you know, don't be, drop by when you
don't
want.
Don't be a stranger,
Yeah, that kind of thing. You're standing there with your left hand on your hip and you're kind of waving at him as he gets into the car. And the moment that he closes the door of that car, your hand just kind of drops. And it's like not working now.
Oh, shit.
Like it just kind of powers off and it falls to the ground and you're left there with your arm exposed in the wind. What
is there
do?
Like a phone number I can call? Like customer service or?
Yeah, you call 1-800-LANALAX.
Yeah, I call them.
You call them and they go, thank you for calling 1-800-LANALAX. My name is Scarlett. How can I help you?
Hi, Scarlett. So I got a new robot hand. I got a new robot hand and in exchange for teaching guitar lessons. It just stopped working and it fell off and I'd like to see what we can do.
So you're like you hear like typing, you're, and she's like, okay, I've got your file pulled up here. She goes, okay. Lost your hand. And she goes, okay, 50,000. Okay. You know, she's like reading your file.
Yeah.
Right? And she goes, oh, it looks like that hand was only working for the duration of the lessons. And now that they're over, the hand isn't going to work anymore.
Well, can I keep doing these lessons?
She kind of laughs. She goes, no, that was a six week run of lessons. She says, but we do say thank you, but he's going to take it from here.
What?
Yeah, she's like, Bryce is going to be able to like manage on his own.
Can I keep the hand?
She's like, I mean, I guess.
I would try to like figure it out and try to see if I can get it to work again.
She's like, look, I can change it to one setting and it'll just be stuck that way forever. She goes, what setting do you want?
What setting? Just on, I guess.
So she goes, okay. Well, she's like, okay, I'll just use your most often used setting.
Okay.
And she turns it in. It turns into like a fleshlight kind of a thing.
Oh,
attachment.
God. Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, yeah, have fun. Good luck with the hand. And thank you for calling Lanolax. She hangs up on you.
I have a fleshlight for a hand.
I mean, yeah, that's like the most used setting, like time-wise you had on
right.
there.
Right. Because of
was
the...
that.
Yeah.
Sex toy,
man,
easily the most time used by like 25% at least. Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it was a lot. It was at least 25%.
Okay, well, that's really, really a bummer.
So you kind of like look at the hand and you're kind of again coming to grips with the realization that like, oh man, this thing that I love, like maybe over, and it was snatched away from me after I had such this wonderful relationship with it. And again, it feels like being like kicked even when you're down, right?
Yeah.
And you really fall into it. You fall into like a deep, deep depression.
Yeah.
You get a text message from Bryce. He says, hey, Pat, you're never going to guess what's on the radio. And you turn on the radio and it's a song that's by him. And the DJ's like, this is DJ Jason Light. And we're going to play the hottest song in America right now by Bryce Bones Jones. It's called My Daddy Will Kill You.
What?
And it's like a country western song. It's a harrowing tale about a young man trying to like strike out on his own and kind of failing a little bit. But you know, his dad like comes to his rescue and it's like a father son love story kind of a song. And, it's like a little weird and sort of like right wingy, you know, but, you know, it's like, yeah, right. It's about a dad and his son killing somebody who did him wrong. You know, it's then like shooting him with guns. It's like a whole thing, right?
Like a revenge.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it's like incredibly popular song, right? And so you get this text message from him saying, like, guess what's on the radio, right? And you're listening to it. And it's kind of catchy, but it just doesn't sit right with you. You know, it just doesn't feel good.
Oh, wow.
You know?
Why?
you send a congratulatory text back. You're like, good for you, man. You work so hard. You deserve whatever you get, you know?
Yeah.
And you kind of like, you kind of like stand there with your hand in the fleshlight attachment and you listen to the song and you stare out your window, like watching the sunset, you know?
Yeah.
And, you lose your job at Strings and Things. It's obviously what? You can't function there anymore without like a hand. Like what are you going to do as far as like playing? It's, you got to play instruments, you know?
Right.
You just can't do the job anymore.
Sure.
So you lose your job, right? You lose your job, you get behind on your car payment, your car gets repossessed. Slowly like fall deeper and deeper into this pit of debt, but every day you got that hand.
Ugh.
You know, and that's really the only thing that's pulling you along. And over the next year, the country becomes more and more divided, be it by that song. Like the people who are like into it are like, this guy's a fucking genius, you know, and it's again steeped very heavily in like 2A propaganda kind of stuff. It's like that kind of a country song. And then the rest of the country's like, this thing is kind of fucking scary. And you know, it's not what we like and it's not what we want. And eventually it just escalates until everybody just kind of takes sides. And it's really the flashpoint of like a new civil war. And it broke out in Texas. And you were just sitting outside one day on your porch. You would just put up a privacy fence around your home. It's 12 feet tall. So you kind of do whatever you want when you're outside. You were sitting nude on your porch in a rocking chair, feeling like the wood against your ass. And then a bunch of people just blitzed through your fence and then they beat you to death. They beat you to death with your floodlight hand. And then they took it and it became like a symbol of like the uprising.
Who are they?
Oh, they were the pro people. They were like, we love this song. You know?
Well, then why would they turn on me? I helped the kid out.
Yeah, they didn't know who you were. They were just going through just like wreaking havoc, expressing their Second Amendment right. They
indiscriminately, came across and, yeah.
Yeah, they came across you like just moments after you had, you know, done whatever. And you had like had your headphones in and you were just like sitting there with your eyes closed tight.
Nude.
And you didn't even hear him break through your fence. And then they came upon you. You didn't respond to them. And they just beat you to death right on your porch. Nude from the waist down. Still had a shirt on, though.
Oh, man. That's the worst part of this. Beaten to death while still wearing a shirt.
No, nothing on underneath. Totally nude.
Man. Fuck. That's not good.
No. Yeah.